Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Canada is king and queen of household debt. And how come? We kind of just opened up a little bit of the information as we discussed with Barry Choi. And now I want to talk about what this means economically. You know, as I began the show, I talked about that I'm here in PEI right now. And I'm always interested in what is on people's minds, especially because they're so political out here. And they are. They're saying the same stuff. And it's tied into this story that there's no place to live and not enough houses. And you could, years ago, when I first used to start coming here, houses took years to sell, years and years sometime to sell. Not so now. And they're building new ones. They're wondering, are they really for the people who need them? And renters are getting tossed out and the rent's going up and all the things that are happening all over the place. And how is it giving us the position that we're some of the worst in the world? Why? What are we doing here? And what do we need to do to get out of this? Chetan Dave is joining us, who's an economist at the University of Alberta. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm okay. Are you worried about this household debt story? I mean, this is a big deal. Biggest in the G7. You know, we're kind of, every time I'm ever covering Canada's opinion at the G7, we're always reminded, you know, we're not one of the big people and the big guns in this world. And here we are. Were you surprised about this?
Well, I'm not surprised. Canada's been going through a very unique situation, economically speaking. And folks have, to an extent, ridden out this pandemic and this, for lack of a better term, economic mess by sort of financing using debt. And now, you know, the thing with debt is that at some point you're going to have to pay it back.
So, you know, everything goes back to the pandemic, even as we talked about what was happening in Alberta election. Now, you're bringing up, do you think this is a post-pandemic thing, or were we on the road here in Canada before this?
I think we were on the road a little bit towards this. Canada typically, in the past decade or so, maybe a little longer, a decade and a half, has been on this path of rising household debt. Now, we escaped that Great Recession in 2007, 2008, the financial crisis. We escaped that because relative to the U.S., we had better sort of regulations and such when it came to banking. But Canadian debt levels have been rising over time. And I'm sort of, for lack of a better term, the breed of economist who is not terribly in favor of that high household debt level.
And one of the reasons we're doing it is we have the highest housing prices in the world in a lot of measures here. And that points to planning. So if you're, you know, most people's debt, let's face it, is tied up in their mortgage, isn't it? So if people were getting these huge mortgages, then of course we have household debt. Do you think that's a big part of the problem?
I think that is a very large part of the problem. I think supply, relatively speaking, has been limited with respect to housing, especially in the big metro areas, both for natural reasons, like Vancouver, obviously one side is ocean, so you can't exactly build on the ocean. On the other side is mountains. So, I mean, yes, there have been some natural supply constraints to increasing housing, but in general, Canadians take the housing as their primary source of sort of savings, if you will, right? Because they go with equity and housing being their sort of nest egg in some sense. So there's also, I think historically, there's been sort of this move to, you know, keep housing values up. And one way you do that is via various zoning and other regulations restricting the supply of new housing. But now it's come to a point where it's caused this over leveraging when it comes to debt, and now in this with inflation doing what it's doing, I think the Bank of Canada is basically stuck between a rock and a hard place, because if they increase interest rates anymore, then it's quite possible that there's going to be huge crashes when it comes to households who are relying on debt. But at the same time, interest rates need to rise in order to account for this overall inflation that doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon.
No, but we did make some progress. And now, Chetan, you know, we, as you say that, it reminds me of Too Big to Fail. Has this whole attitude of Canadian spending, investing in their house, is it going to drive economics in a way that maybe we shouldn't go? Have we lost the freedom to do the right thing?
Well, I mean, I don't think we've lost freedoms at all in Canada to do. I mean, do we need a change in policies? Probably. Do we need to? I mean, I have my favorite. Every economist has their favorite set of policy measures that they'd like to see. In my particular opinion, we need to think about those policies that can help us become a bit more productive. In my particular opinion, there needs to be a fair amount of change in how we do taxation. We need policies that increase the supply of housing and the supply of residential structures and non-residential structures and whatnot. I think we need to be more open to trade globally with respect to not just goods and services, but also our natural resources. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, somehow this debt needs to be addressed. And usually when a household finds itself having a lot of debt, they usually work their way out of it. And perhaps nationally, we need to do something of the same kind.
You know, one of the things is we talk about the housing prices, and I know that this question is happening all across Canada as we accept more immigrants, and we need economically these immigrants for our greater engine of the economy. But it's, you hear people say, well, it's kind of tough because what do you do? Do you, I know they're saying that in Atlantic Canada, but people that are talking to me, they're saying, you know, do you invite people for dinner if you don't have a place for them at the table? But economically, we just need those numbers, don't we?
We absolutely need the immigration. There's no doubt about it. But we also need regulatory changes with respect to increasing housing supply all across the country, or wherever it's constrained, I should say, so that we can house the folks who are coming into the country, right? So that requires zoning changes, that requires regulation changes. And I know that there's always a sense of not in my backyard and all that kind of stuff that goes on because people want to keep their housing values high. But we're going to have to suffer a little bit while this new supply comes online and the whole country grows itself out of the debt.
And we're growing in ways not everybody agrees with here. As you say, it's going to be tough because now all the people that were protecting their neighborhood, and you know, when I first started covering City Hall, protecting your neighborhood was such an honorable thing to do. It isn't so much now, is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's honorable in this way. It depends on who you talk to, right? I mean,
yeah.
If I owned a house, I would be very much trying to make sure that its value is retained, especially if it's my principal way of saving for later. But that also comes with cost. So, you know, we're facing a situation where we're going to have to make some tough choices. And there's only one way to make a tough choice, which is, you know, to make a tough choice. You literally have to pick a rock or a hard place.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi. Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.